Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode I can't remember.
Where are we, Ben?
We are at the Midwest Gaming Classic in Brookfield, Wisconsin, I think, which is kind of like Milwaukee.
It's pseudo Milwaukee. This is Jason Jones, by the way. And we have a special guest with us today.
Yes, I am Dale Nortz. I'm usually heard blathering on the A Fistful of Reviews podcast, but today I'm going to blather on this podcast instead.
Yes.
Because I'm here and I have nothing better to do.
So you've been put on notice.
Yes. 2 weeks' notice.
That was a fine Sandra Bullock joint.
So Sandra Bullock has had just about the fastest best actress curse yet, I would say.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a curse that went along with being best actress.
They actually started talking about it just before the stuff happened with Sandra Bullock, but it's because it's like Hilary Swank got divorced, Charlize Theron's like broken up with a long-term boyfriend. God, who else was there? There's more. I'm trying to think of the other people, but it was like Kate Winslet's like getting divorced from Sam Mendes.
It's something like win a Best Actress Oscar and your relationship goes straight to hell.
Yeah, it goes in the toilet.
I guess I was unaware of this.
I guess the man can't handle the woman's success.
So what about Best Actor? There?
Well, Sean Penn's just a dick. But,
yeah.
But he's getting divorced, so there's that.
Nicolas Cage, he's been married and divorced so many times he can't.
Yeah, you can't keep track.
He won an Oscar, right?
He keeps buying his wife's castles.
Tom Hanks did not get divorced.
No, Tom Hanks.
He's hung in there.
Yep, Mel Gibson didn't win Best Actor and he got divorced, which you never think would happen.
He did win Best Director, though,
so I guess that's
and
part
Costner
of the
did. I think no matter what award you win, you're just going to get divorced at some point.
The divorce rate is already 50%.
I mean, like you said, the divorce rate is 50% plus. This is Hollywood.
So
I mean,
you gotta add
it's
like kind of
escalated to like 70-80% anyway, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's got to be within the limits, I would think. So,
all right. Well, let's say everyone's over there doing stuff.
That's all right. But we have one listener here who might have a question for us.
Yes. Apparently, no one cares about our room unless Bill Paxton Pinball is on.
Well, that's okay.
Why would they?
I think Bill Paxton Pinball has performed admirably and beyond the Call of Duty, your favorite game.
Yes, it's survived much better than many of the ones upstairs.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it is superior to most of the pinball machines upstairs.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I would agree.
I liked your game even before I saw like all of the like the so-called real pinball machines upstairs.
Yeah.
But like yours is better designed than a lot of them.
I think so.
I would say
well,
so.
Well, I know you guys are being honest, but people are going to think you're just saying that because you're my friends.
No, we'd tell you if it sucked because
I'm not your friend.
Because we're honest friends.
Yes, exactly.
And you expect that for people. Yeah,
that's true.
No, it might not be as good as the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein pinball.
That thing, I gotta play that.
I would give that one the crown.
Yeah.
It costs $1,400, and I'm half tempted to buy it.
Yeah,
but,
it's pretty.
But
awesome.
I'm going to resist.
It's very cool looking. I want to play it. Hopefully, I can later.
Yeah, it's also not as good as the Lord of the Rings pinball machine they had at the Star Cinema forever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And they had that cool Terminator 3 one. A couple of years ago.
And see, so yours is not the greatest pinball machine.
Okay, but now you're bringing it back down.
But it's better than most of the ones I played up there. Like that soccer one may have been a hair better.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
it's in the ballpark.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, we were just talking to Dennis Nordman, was here just a few minutes ago, and he did the Pirates one along with many others, and that was a good game too.
Yeah. So, I haven't played that one.
Yeah, so the Pirates one was pretty cool.
So we've established that, you know, you guys, okay, so we've kind of knocked it back down, so now people don't think you're giving me favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like the greatest thing ever, but it's pretty cool, and I'd be happy to own one.
Yes,
I guess that's what I would say.
Well, you should totally buy that Mary Shelley machine, Jones.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have just bought my computer, I would probably be even more likely to buy
it. A question from the audience.
What kind of computer did you buy?
What's that?
What kind of computer did you buy?
Oh, I got, what did I get? I got a...
Tandy.
I bought all the pieces, and it's an Intel i7-930 processor. And then, what is it, the Sapphire 5770 graphics card. And
so no wonder you're in opposition to buy that machine.
Yes. Yeah, it cost a decent chunk of money altogether. but
that was going to be awesome.
I mean, I could still buy this, but I'm trying to be responsible, so, you know, I'll take down their information and call them in like 6 months, and if they still have it, then, you know, what the hell.
You notice the Mary Shelley's machine had a bigger DMD dot matrix display than most of the other machines. It had a lot of dots.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Very cool. I like that. To me, the thing, too, like, pinball, it's usually very confusing what you need to do in the game, which I think is, you know, like, bad design, probably. But, like, in that Mary Shelley's one, I thought it was, you know, fairly straightforward what you needed to do in it. And it played well. You didn't get a lot of ball drains for, like, no apparent reason, or there were some games that were just kind of lame that way. Like,
yeah.
The ball, you know, you'd shoot the ball, and then it would just, like, ball drain. It's like, I mean, you get the ball back, but it was still kind of lame.
They call that straight down the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They should call it straight down the weak sauce, as far as I'm concerned. But Frankenstein one didn't have that. The Johnny Mnemonic one was pretty decent,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Johnny Mnemonic one was pretty cool.
So the consensus is pinball machines that involve Dina Meyer are awesome. So we should have a Bats pinball machine?
The Johnny Mnemonic pinball machine was really good. The Starship Troopers one that was upstairs was pretty good. And also better than your machine, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
sadly, that one disappeared.
Yeah,
I don't know if somebody bought it or what.
Is Demolition Man still here? Most of the ones upstairs are for sale, so...
Yeah, probably somebody bought it.
So, the Demolition Man, great pinball?
Yeah, apparently that's the way it is, except for Lord of the Rings.
You're not trying to say Demolition Man's a crappy movie, are
you? It's not very good.
What?
Oh, horse. Oh.
What? Neither are Starship Troopers.
You got what?
Starship Troopers is fine. It's a fine, high-quality joint.
You got Dennis Leary, like, stealing Taco Bell. I mean,
yeah.
How can you go wrong?
I don't know. Demolition Man may not be, like, Blade Runner level of, like, awesome sci-fi speculation.
Blade Runner is an awesome sci-fi.
It's better than Blade Runner.
Oh, God.
But has Neil Patrick Harris.
I'll put that right out there.
It's more fun
Demolition
than Blade
Man's
Runner.
Better than Blade Runner.
It's so great!
Oh, dear God. It is not better than Blade Runner.
Blade Runner,
but Demolition Man is damn fun.
Oh, wait, are we saying Blade Runner? Or are we saying Demolition Man is better than Blade Runner? Or
that's what Joe's is saying.
I'll say Starship Troopers is better than it, too.
Oh,
I don't
dear
care.
God. What? Starship Troopers is not better than Blade Runner, but Starship Troopers is...
See, what I don't understand is why you're still obsessed with Sandra Bullock. I mean, you are way behind the bell curve on that one.
What's wrong with Sandra Bullock?
She's like 1,000 years old!
Who gives a shit?
Okay, she's granted, she's so old.
These old newbies look as good you or not.
You ageist, you.
Sandra Bullock is still a fine-looking woman. However, I do not share Jones's enthusiasm toward her. She is fine.
She's, awesome.
She's a good actress and all,
she's
but no,
fun,
I'm not.
And she's not afraid to look like stupid.
Well,
movies,
that is true.
Cool.
That is an admirable.
So, how many times like, did you rent All like About Steve?
Like zero.
I haven't. But I
is
probably
it on
will.
Too?
It's not actually surprisingly.
Well, then you are not a true Sandra Bullock fan.
I have been.
Sit the hell
I have shown my true colors. Hey, but I watched. What did I watch? I watched. Well, you know, 2 weeks' notice.
Did you watch Miss Congeniality 2?
I did.
The real test.
I did.
Did you know?
I
it
did.
Wasn't good.
Oh yeah. What about Hope Floats?
It wasn't as good as Miss Congeniality 1.
Well, yeah.
I did not watch Hope Floats, but I watched 28 Days, which was actually very good.
And I listened to a Harry Connick Jr. album once, so that's almost like watching Hope Floats.
And you're calling me out on the Sandra Bullock thing.
Okay, what about that movie where
I do not see the connection.
Oh, Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
Jones,
I own it. And I've watched it.
Well, seriously,
it's not bad.
I have 4 copies of Dirty Dancing on
VHS,
a hilarious
DVD,
format.
You have no
we all have our dark horse.
Yep, we all have those skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, Joe, do you still have that copy of Batman Forever I gave you shit about owning?
No.
You remember that?
I had that on VHS, and the reason I stuck with it so long was because it was a good way to test a VCR. Because if
yep,
a VCR
you don't care
was
about
being
it.
A little off, you could stick that in, and if it got
oh.
who cares?
I actually used, I was making that
I
portable
a tape like that.
That portable.
I could lend you my
well, you had that. You
forever.
Had that Sean Mullins disc that you used on
yeah.
the 360.
I had a Sean Mullins disc, which I used in the 360. Sorry to whom bought that. Screw her! And Van Helsing, I used to test portable once.
What?
I thought you loved that for your birthday.
It's not good.
I thought that was like your well, not your favorite.
Kate Beckinsale has a really nice ass, but that movie
oh,
sucks. I mean,
nobody at this table is going to deny that Kate Beckinsale has a great.
Yeah, let's hear your Kate Beckinsale impression since you're the one who always does it.
Vampires.
Yeah, how did they not, you know, shim her into the Twilight movies somehow?
Hello! I'm Stephanie Meyer!
I hear you're making some sort of vampire-related movie. I would love to volunteer my services.
Oh, dear.
Yes, this sadly is the Kate Beckinsale impression. Yeah.
I can shoot two guns
She sounds exactly
time.
Like that.
There you go.
Oh, you know what it was with Dale and I were roommates.
I wonder if she's on Team Jacob or Team Edward.
Yeah, that's what
do you remember
I'm
where that
I think of Team Edward because it's vampires.
Do you remember where that came from, Dale? I was when we were roommates a long time ago, and I was playing Castlevania 3,
yeah.
And you're like, what's this game? And I'm like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. I was explaining it to you. And then somehow you're like, oh, well, Kate Beckinsale would like this because every movie she makes has vampires in it. And then you started talking like, I would like to make a video game. You started talking to Kate Beckinsale out of the blue. And it was
what
so
is
funny.
This video game? About.
But then
well,
we did,
you fight vampires.
I love vampires.
Yeah.
And then we did the intro where I was interviewing Kate Beckinsale. And I remember you and Letitia
oh,
came
God.
Over,
oh,
and
Jesus,
you were like rolling
yeah.
around because
that was one
funny.
Of the funniest things I've heard in my life. It was just awesome.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, wow, we got like
oh look, more people came back. No, you missed
they
the.
They were called in by my Kate Beckinsale.
Now we're on the spot.
The beacons are lit.
They heard the siren call of Kate Beckinsale.
So like, what the hell is going on?
That's a nice Contra t-shirt.
That is a pretty awesome Contra t-shirt.
Okay, does anyone have any questions about... We were talking about Sandra Bullock getting divorced.
And being awesome.
Oh, darn.
And being awesome.
Actually, yeah, it's great. She's back on the market.
There yep. you go. Done. Jones, get in
there. Jones, to be honest, I'm sorry, but do you always look at a used car like that, it's back on the market. I won't buy that.
Yeah, but you do have a point. Yes, that's true.
Here's
but still, she's Sandra Bullock. I don't know.
This is there are a lot better actresses that I would go after. Megan Fox would be one of them.
Oh, man. The hell with Megan Fox.
No way.
The hell with Megan Fox.
See, Sandra...
No, any alleged hotness Megan Fox has disappears as soon as she opens her dumb mouth.
See, Sandra Bullock, you can actually have a conversation with that woman. Unlike Megan Fox, you just want to stuff a sock in her mouth.
I don't remember... Sorry. Where were we talking
I would
about?
Agree there are other actresses I would take over Sandra Bullock. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying...
But Sandra Bullock will do nicely if those actresses
yeah.
are not available.
I'm just saying, back in the day...
I have no quarrel with this woman.
When she was driving the bus, you know, yeah. But
yeah,
now,
she was awesome
yeah.
when she was driving the bus.
Yeah.
And well, then, not so much when she was on the ship doing whatever the heck was happening in Speed 2.
Well, they were on a ship, and William Dafoe had a laptop, and he's like...
And wasn't he covered in leeches or something?
Oh, because...
That movie pissed me off because they can, at the end, like, the thing crashes into the dock, right?
Right.
They can see the ship coming for, like, 2 hours. It's not a bus. You know the ship is coming. And it's like, you try to communicate with it, right? And if
right.
the ship doesn't answer, hey, probably out of control. Move. Get out of the way.
Well, another one,
real hard.
Another one I love is in the movies when they have sex, when the guy gets up, because the guy's always got to get up and, like, go, like, solve a crime. The woman, like, then she becomes
a
boy.
She covers up her chest.
Yeah. It's like, we just
there's
had
always,
sex, but I don't want to show you my boobs now.
That's right. Were you the one who brought up
the
L-shaped bed sheet?
Yep.
Yeah, because they cover, like, this much of the woman and, like, up to here on the man.
Right, exactly.
Every single time. And what pisses me off is, like, after a sex scene when everybody's got their underwear on. Who does
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Who immediately, well, we're done making sweet love. What the hell is that? It's like, I'm going to go get a Pepsi. Do you want one? Oh, there might be people in the living room.
The dog might be out there or something, you know? I mean,
I just don't understand that. I mean, it's unrealistic. I understand that if they don't have a nudity clause in their contract or something, but
or they don't want their movie to be R.
Yeah, exactly.
But
for God's sake, it's just totally unrealistic.
Well, see, Roadhouse doesn't do that, though, Dale.
Change camera angles.
You don't have to show the naughty bits. You know?
Roadhouse, one of the finest movies ever made.
Yep.
They have sex, and they're both naked.
Exactly.
Because they
that's
just had
why
sex.
Roadhouse is a great
and then they go out on
the... That's why it's a great...
They go out
this is
like,
all you need to know.
That's because it's got martial arts, monster trucks, taxidermy, boobs.
Sways the rips a guy's throat out. I mean, it is a great
It
film.
Has anything you could ever ask for from a motion
and then
picture.
They go out
and Patrick Swayze's ass for the ladies. They're like, here you go.
They go out on the roof of that building, right? And they do it again to Ben Gazzara's across the lake watching them.
Yeah.
And he drives on whatever side of the road he wants.
See, now they're going like the extra mile, even though somebody could see them.
Does anyone have any Roadhouse related questions?
Because apparently we made Roadhouse.
Yeah. No Roadhouse questions.
Hey, Kevin Smith did a commentary track for it. What the hell?
Oh, how about, we made those movies or whatever. Does anyone have any questions about that crap?
Oh, yeah, since we all were...
We're all here.
I mostly asked the obvious question asked by everybody.
Oh, God, here it comes, Ben.
Go ahead.
Get ready for the groan.
I know you said this, but how is ever Port Washington 2 ever going to happen?
Nope.
You did actually have a weak moment the other day where we were talking about it. But then I said, but Derek and Michelle are married now,
yeah,
and there's no way we'd be able to get their time, and it's like, yep, that movie's dead. There's no way.
I'm glad it's dead.
But you did have a weak moment, though.
What did I say?
I can't remember, but you were just like, well, what is the Port Washington 2? Because you were like, looking back at like old ideas and stuff.
Yeah, we did have a plot.
You almost sounded like you were considering it just for like maybe just a microsecond, but
I would still consider doing like another romantic comedy because I hate most of them. They're
stupid. I think that's when it came up said that.
The idea for Port Washington 2 was your character.
We had multiple ideas actually.
Right, one of them was Port Washington.
Lindbergh baby thing where their baby gets
the revenge
stolen,
of Gus.
And then Ben and Mike have to like, track down the baby, of course.
And then Dale would be like, I've got the baby!
It's only time from Labyrinth. Now?
Yeah, okay. You're French.
So am I going to play David Bowie in Labyrinth?
You're a French David Bowie.
I can get behind that.
You know who else is in Labyrinth? Jennifer Connelly.
And she ate sandwiches.
That's
right. No, that was pre-sandwich eating. She was like in puberty.
But she wasn't like some,
she wasn't like
scrawny,
a skeletal waif
woman like she is now. So.
That's true.
The other idea for Port Washington 2 was...
Which, speaking of sandwich eating Jennifer Connelly, Dark City.
Yeah.
That was pre...
Hell of a good time.
Yeah. Pre-non-sandwich eating. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's an excellent film.
So, what happened after she filmed Requiem for a Dream? She watched it and like, I'm so disgusted. I'll never eat a sandwich again. Because that was about the time.
She'd already kind of started not eating sandwiches.
She had started waifing out before Requiem, I think.
And then she just never
went back. But Requiem, she had to pay like a drug addict.
Yeah, so it made sense.
Traditionally fat, so she had to like kind of waste away for that role, and then she just kind of didn't gain the weight back.
So it made sense, but then she just got.
How many people have half of a De Niro? And then she didn't pull the other half.
How many people have seen The Rocketeer?
Good. Oh. We have one hand in the air.
The rest of you need to go rent that movie.
Yes.
If only for Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
She is amazing in that movie. The rest of it's okay.
Yeah.
It has Nazis and rockets.
It's got Locke playing Howard Hughes.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the diligence of the FBI, this particular vacuum cleaner will not end up in the wrong hands. I'm on an island.
And it's got that guy who is like, it's like, we've got all this Dick Tracy makeup left. Why don't we have this guy with a misshapen face?
It's got Timothy Dalton in it, too. So,
Timothy Dalton is the friggin' man in that movie.
I know.
Where is the rocket?
Timothy Dalton is pretty much always the
man. That was post-Bond, like right after his Bond time.
So. We should talk about the other Port Washington toy.
But yes, back to the question.
The other idea
back
was...
Back to relevance.
Yeah, back to whatever it is we're supposed to
back to formula.
What? Godspeed, Stephen.
Out am I.
Sleep.
Oh, yeah, in XXX2, State of Stupidity, or whatever it's called. At the end, it's William Dafoe trying to kill Scott Speedman. We were watching it for Shitty Movie Night, and Dale says, Godspeed, Speedman. Oh, the best one, though, I think, was when we were watching Thunderbird, which actually has Bill Paxton in it.
Oh, God.
And Sophia Miles is, like, this British woman. And remember that?
No, he wasn't there for it.
Oh, who said that?
I said it.
Tell us.
It's like there's this woman in it, and for whatever reason, she's wearing, like, pink and all this stuff, and she's British, of course. And I'm like, what is she, like, legally British? Because it's, like, basically just like Reese Witherspoon and Legally Blonde.
Anyway,
to be there, but it was funny.
Port Washington 2, it was, your character was going to become like this big, like, shut in louse or something.
Yeah, just sit on the couch and be in darkness all the time.
Then I think,
I don't know.
Were you waiting for a bat signal?
Yeah,
what is he doing in that scene?
Apparently this is an average day in the life of Bruce Wayne.
We're talking about Batman Returns.
Did I see a signal? Oh, nope, never mind. Just the moon.
And he's down in the goddamn cave. How can he see the signal?
Yeah, all the lights are off.
They have that complicated system of mirrors.
Yes, mirror refraction.
What was he even thinking about in that scene?
He was waiting for the bat signal.
He was probably like, God damn it, I really screwed up with Kim Basinger. What was I thinking?
Maybe he was mentally making his grocery list.
But then Michelle Pfeiffer showed up, so everything was okay.
Yeah, yeah. I still can't get into that movie. I've tried so many times to watch
Batman
it.
Batman Returns is not bad. It's not great, but I enjoy it.
I can't even watch it anymore.
Like, the thing you pointed out that you disliked about it was because he had, like, all these plots going on, and you're like, what's he trying to accomplish? But I think that shows, like, the sheer ingenuity of the Penguin. First of all, he wanted to, like, kill all the firstborn children of Gotham.
Right.
And then
so he's Darren?
And then Christopher... yeah, exactly! And then Christopher Walken approaches him and asks him to run for office. So he's got that going.
Wait, Simon. How did Christopher Walken propose this? All right, I'll be the Penguin. It's like, I'm the Penguin. Who are you?
Christopher Walken, and I believe that Gotham City would be better served if you were the mayor or something.
Fellas, you've got ladies and cats. Yep. Those are illegal.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is the new mayoral election.
Do your man on fire impression.
Oh, Jesus. Crazy. Here it goes.
Right, wait for it.
Crazy is an artist to death, and he's about to paint his masterpiece. Silence.
I thought it was good.
Where were we?
You just gotta watch Man on Fire. And you'll
watch the trailer.
I watched it. Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah. Well,
that pretty much is all you need. You don't need to watch Man on Fire. Just watch the trailer.
I did.
Girl gets abducted. Right. Guy kills everybody. Walken says that line. The end. You've got it covered.
Well, another thing,
but you should watch the movie. Just shut it off like about 15 minutes
before the end. Yeah.
And then you're good
anyway.
To go.
Well, the other thing with Dale is we thought Dale should voice over Clash of the Titans. Because
Liam Neeson's awesome and everything, but he doesn't say, like, release the Kraken like Dale does. So.
I guess I just sold it too well when I was trying to convince you guys of the awesomeness of the Clash of the Titans trailer.
Yeah, screw that movie.
See here, do it.
All right.
Do it.
I was like, you gotta see it because, like, Liam Neeson's sitting there and he's all badass
he just, like,
in his
comes
armor,
up and he's like...
And he's got a friggin' bald eagle behind him. And he's like, release the Kraken!
But really, he just kind of goes like... Release the Kraken.
No, it's way cooler.
No, it's not.
It's somewhere in between, I think.
It's not much more. It's nowhere near as potent as urine.
The reason why you guys can't drag me to that movie is like, you know, you can't play like 3 God of War games, which are violent, all this, and then go to some
PG-13 crap.
Like, Sam Worthington.
You haven't played God of War.
I don't play video games, and I'm in the minority.
It's like
here,
obviously. What are you doing here?
Well, we don't care what you're. I got dragged here. I have nothing else going on. And yet my love of pinball led me to MGC. I can't understand. But,
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, so, I mean, I always liked watching you play the God of War games, but I'm always like, this should just be a movie where all this crap is
going
on.
Oh, it should be. They should make a God of War.
It should be Vin Diesel.
Yes, it should.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, until they make the God of War movie, I will definitely just watch Liam Neeson sitting around in a suit of armor. I don't really care about Sam Worthington's part.
Well, who does?
I just want to watch Liam, like, marking out orders to God.
My biggest hope with Clash of the Titans is that it's successful, because then maybe it will make it so a God of War movie actually gets made.
Yeah, okay.
Because Hollywood might be like, oh, we gotta go and find something else.
To go see
I am not gonna
Titans.
Go see it! I'm gonna hold the line like you did on Avatar.
That's right, I did not go to that.
But you did see it, and you ended up liking it better than us.
I did eventually see it, and I liked it. I did not see it in 3D, because screw 3D.
Alright, okay, this is an important part we gotta discuss here. Which of these three actors needs to frickin' put down Jennifer Lopez and pick up a machine gun? A, Matthew McConaughey. B, Vin Diesel. Dwayne Johnson.
Okay. Vin Diesel.
He's carrying, all of these people are carrying Jennifer Lopez.
Sidebar. I think everybody should put down Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's carrying
was
her.
Was Dwayne Johnson listed?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
I look at Dwayne Johnson. I know the Tooth Fairy crap.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. See, the thing is, Vin still has some stones, because if you look at his upcoming movies, he's doing, like, the new Triple X, he's doing, like, a Riddick movie, he's even looking at doing, like, that Hannibal movie he's always wanted to do.
Which
so he's doing some nice, like, violent action crap.
Apparently, but, John Cena is going to be in the Fred movie.
The Fred movie?
The what?
The movie based on the Fred, that YouTube celebrity Fred.
Like, hi, I'm Fred!
I've never even heard of them.
Well, thank God.
It sounds like we're better off.
The theater's down now.
But, yeah,
I've been
just all over.
To do that for years. It seems like every 6 months they greenlight a movie where I'm like, I'm going to drive to Hollywood and burn it down. But so far, I haven't made good on that threat yet.
Gas prices are too high.
Gas prices are too high. Maybe if I go through some sort of stripes day where I lose my job, my wife, and like everything else happens, then I will be like, well, it's time to drive to Hollywood and burn it down.
Wouldn't that be a Spider-Man 2
and
day?
And drop your pizza, too, just to make it all the worse.
Yeah.
You know?
What was it, Falling Down?
Falling Down. Yeah. There we go.
There it is.
All right, I promise you all that if I ever go through a complete nervous mental breakdown, I'll aim my aggression on Hollywood and try to stop all this other crap from happening.
Oh no, somebody's spooling up a video.
What?
No, I'm just.
Oh, we should do our Bowser Galactica impressions.
What is this?
I don't believe I have one.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, you've got your Edward James Olmos.
You got?
Bill, I don't crush these Fracken Cylons. I am a Fracken Cylon. I fracked a Fracken Cylon. I fracked two Fracken Cylons. I don't trust them. We've got to trust the Cylons in order to spool up. The FTL, the ship, will never jump again.
But what are you going to do with the Galactica?
I'm going to fly the Battlestar Galactica as I speak three words at a time, like George Bush, into the sun. Spoiler warning, we are humanity's ancient hope. Ancestors. And apparently, Gaius Baltar is an angel. The end.
And so is Starbuck, right?
Yeah.
What the hell is with that?
I think so.
I have no idea.
I really don't know. I need to listen to a commentary.
I still enjoyed, like, the end. I thought it wrapped up, you know, decently, but yeah, I don't know what the hell was going on half the time.
No.
It sort of turned into a David Lynch movie at the end. I don't know what was happening, but I enjoyed it.
That's probably how Lost will end.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
Be like, well, I kind of know what happened. It's good enough.
How do you live?
How are you alive? What kind of geek are you?
So
Ben, what was the second thought?
Oh, okay.
So what was the second plot idea for Port Washington 2?
Oh yeah, I forgot
about
that.
Back to that. Back to our first question that we had.
Wow, we took quite a long really,
like 15 minutes ago.
We're going around the Horn of South America on that. Okay, the second plot was Jones's character turns into like a sad sack and he sits around playing video games all the time. Sorry, video game show, but that was the plot. And so I think it was like my character and then Michelle's character try to like set him up or something. Then she realizes that we set her and her boyfriend up. So she starts to question the big lie, which all movies always have. So then she questions her relationship. Then there's like explosions or something.
Oh, of course.
The smoldering
probably
ruins.
A gun somewhere, you know?
Yeah. But, Well, we had a karaoke movie that we've been talking about doing for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And it has a gun in it somehow, and it was going to be a 38 special, which is a group.
I'm surprised Hollywood hasn't made that yet, because a lot of our ideas eventually kind of make their way into
like,
Hollywood movies.
Tell us about Late Fee, Dale.
Oh, God.
What?
I'm going to listen to this thing, and you tell us about Late Fee.
Okay, fine. Long, long ago, I had an idea for a short film that would be basically about a guy who wanted to impress a girl, and I guess he rented a movie to try and impress her.
Well, he was like trying to find the movie, and he couldn't find anywhere except
find
this one
anywhere, so
out of the way video store.
Spoiler alert, the Devil's Video Store,
yep.
And he didn't look at the fine print, so it turned out that if he returned the video late, the Devil owned his soul. So then he returns the movie like a week later because he's a schmuck, and then he realizes that he owes his soul to the devil, and he tries to find all these ways around it, because the devil, because he's such a nice guy, gives him like 3 days to put his affairs in order or something.
That's pretty nice of him, really, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he's a decent human being.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Anyway, so then
he, you know, usually this Jerry just comes and grabs the soul and away he goes.
No, not this around, time. But, no, it was like a drag me to hell kind of situation.
Okay, yeah, that's true, yeah.
So he goes around and he, I don't know, he talks to like a priest and he talks to a lawyer and they can't find a way out, and then so he decides to challenge the devil to a game of Pong for his soul, and he loses badly, and he just runs away like a little girl and gets hit by a car and goes to hell. That's the end. But,
what is technology?
And it completely fell apart because we got an unreliable idiot to play the main character.
Yes, we did.
And I'm not the greatest videographer on earth, so most of the footage looks crappy.
We didn't know what a tripod was at the time.
I didn't put any stock in tripods, so it's like Blair Witch, actually.
It's like a Paul Greengrass movie or something.
It's pretty bad. I mean, I can write, but I'm not so good with the whole filming thing. But that's okay. So, anyways, we did that, and
so fast forward like 10 years.
Jones was actually in it, completely unrelated, had nothing to do with the plot line performance.
Yeah, not scripted or anything.
Completely unscripted, and Jones was hilarious. So that's where when we were putting together Port Washington, we decided Jones should be in it, just doing whatever Jones does.
Remember, we actually did like screen tests for that movie. Like, yeah, I remember coming out to your parents' place and we did like line readings from the script and stuff. But anyway,
so years later, Ben kept bothering me. He was like, "We need to find that late fee footage." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's so important because it meant so much to me. I did not even keep track of what
I just like giving you shit about it."
I know. I agree. And it was fun, I'm sure. But so I didn't even know where the footage ended up, and then finally I did find it, and we saw just how unwatchable it actually was.
But the stuff with Jones was great.
Yeah, but Ben has never let it go. Ben is always like, "We should make Late Fee. We should make that into a big movie. We should remake it." And I'm like, "Why? Let it go."
Oh, remember my last idea? It's like, well, nobody rents movies anymore because of Netflix. So my big idea was, it's the first time she's coming to his apartment, so he's getting a carpet cleaner. He's renting a carpet cleaner. That was my
big
idea.
Which I'll admit is not
you have to rent them.
Yeah, which I'll admit is not much dumber than having to rent a movie.
I think it makes a lot of sense because you can't just buy a carpet cleaner.
It probably makes more sense, but I just don't care about a carpet cleaner. I'm sorry.
And how many guys would actually rent a carpet cleaner to impress a woman?
If a woman's been on more than 3 dates, she's seen the crappiness of an average guy's apartment anyway.
It's not a shock.
No, it's not a shocking development here.
That's true.
But
anyways,
so anyway.
And if you let your carpet get so bad that you needed a carpet cleaner, you probably wouldn't bother to rent one anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously,
at this point, you don't care. But anyways, then the other, like, a couple weeks ago, we were walking through Best Buy, and we wandered past the horrible horror section with, like, the worst movies of all time.
Like, the direct-to-video
sludge. And there was, lo and behold, a movie called Late Fee, where somebody on, like, Halloween Eve or something.
It was fairly similar.
It's pretty close to the plot line.
I don't think it had the Pong battle in
it, but it had a lot of the other things.
Yeah. But it was definitely like the late fee, signing the soul over.
But that's okay, because then I was like, "Ben, we can't make this movie anymore because it exists." So I'm off the hook.
And I conceded.
That's never stopped Hollywood.
This is true.
Have they done? The Wolfman, I think, is a good example.
Oh, no.
Apparently, with Wolfman, some little Twilight fangirl went up to Wolfman and said, "What about Twilight?"
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Well, but then again, if you guys look at the forum, people have run into people who think that the N64 was the first Nintendo console.
Oh, that's true.
There were retards out there.
That's true.
Well, the problem with the remake thing is we thought that was bad enough, but now it's going to get worse because Hollywood's on their 3D terror.
Yeah.
So now they're like taking old movies like Terminator and Titanic, making them 3D, and they're going to release them in the theater again.
But apparently only James Cameron movies.
No, there's like other crap too.
Toy Story really has been great.
3D. I watched it.
They did that, but looked pretty good. But I mean, that's going to be like the new surge now. So it's like you're going to go to the movie theater some week and it's going to be like, didn't I see that movie like 7 years ago?
Yeah, because
like
this 10 is years how ago? Hollywood operates. You know? It's like if you would have come to them 5 years ago and be like, you know, we should make this movie about blue cat people and we should make it in 3D, they'd have been like, screw you, get out of here. But then it came out, it made a boatload of money, and they're like, okay, everything should be like this. Every movie should have blue cat people and be in 3D now.
Pixar did the 3D version of Toy Story 1 and 2. They actually did a little bit of graphic enhancements. Mm-hmm. Actually updated a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because they can charge more for the tickets.
Exactly. And it's cheap, because, I mean, they have all the production of the cost of the movie done already. I mean, it's like, we spend a few million more and we make it 3D and then we release it, and then it's like, we can charge an extra $3 per ticket and get all these people to come again.
That's the whole reason they're doing the 3D push now. It's like, that's the whole reason Avatar is the number one movie of all time.
Movie tickets, as if they weren't expensive enough.
Even worse. The next Transformers won't be 3D, and he thinks that...
Yeah, Michael Bay's trying to hold the line on that.
Because it's fake!
Because it's after... unless you film it in 3D, it's like, don't do it.
25 years ago, all the major filmmakers were complaining about colorization, and Ted Turner was the devil. Like, 3D is even worse, because you're taking the movie and you're slicing it up and multiplaning it. It's worse than colorization. But apparently nobody cares now. It's terrible. And you can film the movie in 3D, so just film it in 3D, and...
Yeah, because I went and saw Alice in Wonderland in 3D.
And it looked like shit.
Viewmaster?
Well, when I first saw it, it looked so artificial because there was the initial, when you first see Alice, you see a doorway, and then you see her, and then you see what's behind her.
Okay.
And she just looks kind of superimposed on the very back. And it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, and it's funny because you hear James Cameron like ripping on that sort of stuff, but then it's okay for him to do it to Titanic, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
well, I think the main issue he had was rushing it.
Yes, but James
he just doesn't like it in general.
James
but.
Cameron's idea is,
now you can claim
Titanic is a masterpiece, and so it must be re-transformed.
Yeah.
But Alice in Wonderland, you know, it's just a comedy. It's just garbage.
Yeah.
As far as he's concerned.
Well, see, James Cameron, though, it's just like, as long as it's his idea, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's why it's all right to him. You know, and I mean, he has one good point about where he's like, if people are going to do that, it should be the filmmaker who made the movie that's like doing the 3D post-processing to the movie. But
Pixar redoing all the
And he's like, you know, if they want to make Star Wars 3D, like George Lucas should be the one overseeing that. It shouldn't just be some random hack, you know, that does it or whatever.
And, yeah.
Lucas can't let enough alone.
Well, Lucas was already talking about that, like, after Revenge of the Sith came out a few years ago,
sure,
about making them 3D, and I'm sure it'll happen. It's only a matter of time.
So they actually had to re-render a whole entire movie with two camera sources. Camera sources that can make it work.
But still, it's very cheap for them to do that, though.
Disney's actually doing a 3D re-release of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, and Lion King they're talking about doing, too. But that's what I'm saying, though. That's what's going to happen. It's like, the movies, you're going to go to the movie theater, and it's like, you know, if they keep doing this shit, it's going to be like half the movies. It's going to be like, oh, great, The Lion King's out this weekend, like Terminator 2, you know? And then it's like, here's a new movie, you know? It's like, but it's the new movie's going to be like the exception if they get their way.
And every movie's
very cheap for them to do this.
One thing is, James Cameron's actually going to bring Avatar back to theaters.
That's a sad state of affairs. But...
That movie was so long. Oh, so it's going to be 9 hours long now?
Yeah, he's going to add stuff back in.
He found two more cat people he forgot to put in the first time and throw them back in.
The Nikki Apollo.
Maybe you'll have some, like, green cat people, and then you'll have, like, that whole, you know, racial thing going
That's one issue he didn't touch on in the original.
Get some green cat people. Or maybe they're green dog people. Blue cat people.
Oh, no, there we go. He's going to have blue cat people and blue dog people, and they're going to fight.
Yeah.
There's like the fifth person with your shirt.
Yeah!
Mass Effect!
That's right.
We're going to boot it up in a bit after we're done with our podcast. So it does operate. It doesn't just sit there inert. Does anyone have any other questions that doesn't involve Avatar or 3D?
So what did you think of Avatar 3D?
You know, I am the biggest James Cameron fan on Earth. I mean, look at this pinball machine. But I sat there the whole time thinking, Dancer with Wolves, Disney's Atlantis. That's all I could think the whole time. And it's 3 in the morning, and this cost me $15.
Yes.
See,
and then, and for me, I was like, and
board.
I have to get up and go to work in the morning on top of it. It's like, why did I do this?
I think when I went, it was like, I always thought that home was like, $10 with the glasses or whatever.
Oh, nice.
Because we went to, like, the IMAX 3D, yeah. Well, yeah, so it was, like, IMAX, $15 yeah. friggin' dollars
to see
it.
My theater only charges too much for glasses, for sure.
It was, like, 250 miles away.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. like...
Yeah. We've been in the middle of nowhere. I see. Yeah. Iowa, so...
you know what bugs me? Is now, like, these 3D documentaries that are really cool...
Yeah, they're getting pushed out.
They won't even be able to show, because, you know, you got, like, Iron Man... Okay, shot in 35mm, blown up to IMAX, but it, more expensive. It wasn't filmed in IMAX. Die! You know, but you've got that. You've got Prince of Persia, which looks like, I think that's going to be crap. I used to think that's going to be good. Prince of Persia. Like, the plot looks like, the trailer is confusing. I can't imagine what the movie's like.
When I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, this could be cool. Yeah. But then it's just like, ugh, when you see the trailer.
It's only a matter of time to...
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
So the Gyllenhaal is like charisma-free.
Persian, you know.
Yeah, somebody that fits the role.
Well, yeah. Alec Baldwin was apparently Chinese in The Shadow.
Well, you know,
Hollywood doesn't care.
In Hollywood, the best minority person is always a white guy.
Yeah, look at Avatar.
Avatar, exactly.
You know, Avatar's a fine example.
Yeah, well, anyway, so the thing is, these really cool documentaries that are actually IMAX 3D things, they won't even be able to go into the theaters because it's all this, oh, Watchmen, a 35mm movie blown up to IMAX experience.
Yeah.
So, like, that Hubble thing is like, they took actual cameras into actual space and actually fixed the Hubble. I might not
that
even be able
to
see
awesome
that.
To see it, but
it's out of cool.
Be
able. I might not even be able to see
it. It's like the Titanic movie
I've ever been to.
Like the
Mount Everest and something about dolphins or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to, what, Space Station 3D and Fish 3D.
Space Station 3D was awesome. They had the camera on the ISS looking down at a shuttle, which was in, you know, synchronous orbit with it. And
and Tom Cruise was narrating,
yes.
No less.
The field of view was so wide, you could see both edges of Earth.
Yeah, it was
And it was
awesome.
Real, and it was in 3D, and it was awesome. But now it's going to be like Jake Gyllenhaal, look at me, I'm blown up to IMAX. And then Bond chick, I'm in this movie too.
It's Return of Spike in 3D again.
And Alfred Molina, I was in Spider-Man 2, the best superhero movie ever made. Lame.
I'm not even taking the bait.
He's honestly sitting there.
I think we've trod that ground.
He's
quite
got
a few
these
times.
Robot arms and they're lighting cigars. He's like, I'm rebuilding the machine.
Yes, there were definitely
there were
robot arms.
That was awesome.
Does that make it
the greatest movie of all time?
I guess.
Apparently in Ben's mind,
robot arms. J.K.
If Casablanca would have had more robot arms in it,
there wasn't a single robot arm in there.
But what about the soldering iron in Iron Man? I mean,
if
Humphrey Bogart would have been using a soldering iron with his robot arms in Casablanca, then, it would have been Ben's favorite movie ever.
Get on the plane, Elsa.
And then he just like grabs her with
and
one
then
of the arms
grabs
and throws
a Nazi
her
Nazi and
it.
Crushes his neck with the robotic
and then he's got a cigarette in one of the other arms.
Yeah, he could smoke four cigarettes in a time.
Yeah,
like,
I was
going to
say, it's the 40s. He would have had a cigarette in each arm, probably.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh my god, one of the funniest things I ever saw on television on Mythbusters, they were testing out, like, they wanted to see if vodka would remove the smoke smell from clothes. So they made this box, right?
That's like a myth. The morning
drunk
thing.
Listen.
Oh, maybe if I pour my vodka down,
they're just making these myths up.
So
I think.
They made this big acrylic box and they put like a suit in it and they like stuck cigarettes into every angle of it. And the narrator was like, after recreating Yul Brynner's bedroom, that was so funny. Yul Brynner of Westworld, you going to make me shut up?
There it is.
I've never seen that movie.
You should. It's Jurassic Park.
Does it have robot arms in it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it has robots with arms. They should remake that.
They were going to with Arnold.
Yeah,
remember?
Robot arms.
Robots have arms.
That reminds me. We should talk about you guys' idea for Possumus Men.
Oh, no.
I think while we have time,
should be
robot arms. The Possumus World. You know, like Zombieland.
That would be the fourth one, actually.
Yeah. Shouldn't the fourth one
Possum
be in space,
world.
Actually? Because all bad movies go
to
space.
No, that would be the fifth one. The fourth one should be like everybody is now a possum, so they escape into space at the end of the
like
fourth
Planet
one.
Of the Possum.
Yeah. So at the end of the fourth one, they escape into space to escape from the possum world, but then, like, in the fifth one, a possum comes into outer space.
Do they eventually come back to Earth and, like, the possum, like, you go, they go to the Lincoln Memorial and it's like a possum? Lincoln sitting there.
There we go.
Is that how it's going to be? Just
no.
Like and all possums get out of the cop cars and everything, you know? It's like, is that how it's going to end?
Sure. Okay, all right. You can build all those possum outfits. I'm not going to.
So we had
a... No, it was a click of a mouse, you know?
Yeah.
So, look at Hollywood, you'd be doing a prequel for Cosmos.
Yes. We had a prequel. We showed where the toxic waste came from.
But no, you have to show like the whole whole prisoner woman's backstory. Like, how did she get in prison?
Yeah,
you know, that's what you got to show. I mean, that's what Hollywood would be all about.
Yeah, it's like, Megan, we need you to jump into freezing cold lake again. She'd be like, die. But no. Dale, why don't you tell me the idea real quick you had for Cosmos?
This was
Men.
Pretty awesome.
Well, this is what came out of like an entire month of watching old 40s horror movies. Because I'm sitting there.
But
the main thing was I was watching like all these horrible Frankenstein sequels from like the 30s, and I'm like, we don't really need to stick with coherence, because like somebody could die in like, you know, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. They were back in the third Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
Like Bella gets killed, like Bella Lugosi's in, I think, the third Frankenstein movie, killed at the end, and then he's like back in the fourth one, even though his neck was broken, he's got like a neck brace and he's walking around. And they're like, how are you still here? He's like, I don't know, but we should do this. And so anyways, I'm like, well, I guess why not we just make more possums, I guess. And then that's it. It's kind of like how Predator turned into Predators.
I know, but tell us the plot of the
premise.
Movie.
The premise is that like the secret agent guy at the end of the movie who's on the spike.
Yeah. He becomes like a werepossum.
Because the government's using his DNA to make an army of possums.
And the government is using his DNA to make an army of possums to, I guess, drop on North Korea.
And then Sal Salazar's twin brother.
Who looks exactly like his.
Who's even more evil than him.
This ties into the whole 30s thing, because everybody's like, well, Sal died in that movie. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, in House of Frankenstein, who cared?
Remember,
bring him back.
City Slickers 2, Legends of Curly's
Gold. Yeah, it could be Possumus Men, The Legend of Sal's Gold.
So what happened was,
then we have the Westworld concept
He gets Rustic Resort back from my character. So my character ends up in prison, which apparently was supposed to happen in the second movie, because we wanted to drive a truck through a brick wall to get me out of prison. We didn't do that though. So what's Neil Salazar, which is a reference to Neil Connery in 007, which is on Mystery Science Theater. Neil Salazar makes these like really bad-looking robot possums that we're going to look like the ones in the first movie, and they like terrorize the people at the park, so people can go there and kind of pretend they were like in peril. Right, so it's kind of like role-play, or like Westworld, in which people could like, you know, interact with these robots. So they'd be like, oh no, it's a giant possum. Like, this really bad looking possum comes out. And then what happened?
Real possum clones start running amok.
Because there's like an underground secret government base.
So then they have to reprogram the robot possums to fight the real possum clones.
But that's not enough, so of course they have to get.
Yeah.
They have to get like
you back.
We must upload the retrovirus to the clones.
So they of course have to break Sal out of whoever his name is.
And they have to dig up Mike somehow.
And wasn't it, there's a part where we're possum, like you're the king of the possum. So there's gonna be a scene
here.
There's like the moon and some clouds. So the moon's out, he's like a possum, he's like kicking my ass, and then the clouds go over it, then he turns back into him, and I kick his ass, and the moon shows up again. And then there's a spike or something.
Gonna be a great idea.
Too bad we can't make it till 2021, though.
Yep. So. It's 13 years between possum movies.
And then I'll have some ridiculously huge weaponry for the film.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think we need to. That needs to be even more overdone this time. I mean, I don't think.
I'll have an M20 350 cal by then.
Nice. I mean, somehow that outfit was still wearable, sort of, at the end.
We had to, like, rope it together and stuff after that, but it worked.
Did the costume go on eBay?
Yeah, it sold on eBay.
Somebody's bought it.
How much did the costume sell?
That was only like $60. I just didn't want to move it.
It made me sad because I was going to bid on it and didn't realize it was there until after it ended.
Oh man.
Probably bid like $61.
Tears.
Any other movie related questions or anything like that?
Or just
you wrap it up here. Yeah. You know, boxers, brief, waters, folders, whatever.
I have an idea for a quick question that's not related to the movies. What swag have you guys bought yet? Like, stuff like from the vendor hall.
The what?
Oh, like stuff we bought at the show. I haven't actually bought anything other than a bunch of sodas out of the vending machine.
I'm probably going to buy some Pocky for my wife, because she loves Pocky.
What the hell is Pocky?
It's awesome.
It's like sticks covered in chocolate. But they're good sticks.
Mm, yeah.
they're tasty sticks.
We were on our way there, then I ran into Dennis Nordman, and then, of course, we started talking about pinball stuff. Now we're back here. I don't know. I've got enough crap. I don't need any more crap. I got my Battletoads and Double Dragon.
And you don't have to buy like game convention prices.
Well, there we go. That was my Holy Grail. On the way home, and Walmart tell me it came from the convention.
It's like $2 here. It's like $1.09 at Walmart.
Done.
Nice.
Walmart for the win.
So this mall is where the Dawn of the Dead remake allegedly took place. It wasn't filmed, but
they didn't
allegedly
film
took place.
It there.
Like Port Washington, like what we filmed, like what 10% of it in Port Washington.
Yeah, like the
same
end, the end of the movie, filmed in Port Washington, basically.
Yeah. So yeah,
the rest was like everywhere else.
All right, well maybe we should wrap this up and move on.org so we can get the pinball back on.
I guess. Sure. So.
Oh, any questions about the pinball machine? I guess since it's here, that's like what people care about. No, there is hot glue and electric tape though.
How many glue sticks were used?
Probably only about two. I didn't really use a whole lot of glue on this.
You eat?
Did I eat? you know what I like? I like the you get like a magazine and there's like the glue that holds in the inserts.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of chewy. The chew on that.
Nice. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What Bill Paxton movies aren't represented?
Brain Dead 13, which was with Bill Pullman, is not in there.
There's no One False Move in there, is there?
Yeah, One False Move is a good movie, but he doesn't really do any. He doesn't really say anything Paxton.
Traveler is not in there, is it?
Nope. Traveler had a good line. He goes up to a woman in a restaurant and says, "I see you have a little Irish in you. Would you like a little more?" But that didn't make it in. I mean, at some point, I had to just like stop.
You had to draw a line somewhere.
Right. Right.
Wasn't it like a Twister mode?
There's a Twister
pinball.
It
wasn't left
already.
Out because it was in poor taste. I can tell you that.
No, not at all.
Well, Dan, you came. Tell me what the mode you came up with.
What, Near Dark mode?
Yeah, because that was your idea.
Well, Near Dark is a great movie, but we were trying to think of what happens in Near Dark, and basically all that happens is you kill rednecks and you have to avoid the sun because you're a vampire. That's all Paxton does, so that's the point of the mode. There's a little light that represents the sun, and you have to keep your pinball out of there while Near Dark mode is happening.
Yeah.
And you have to hit a bunch of bumpers that represent rednecks.
So what was your dialogue? You're like, let's put the sun in. You remember that?
Yeah. I was like, put another light in.
Let's
there
get
to represent
the
sun.
In
I mean, why not?
We had one bit of lighting left, and I'm like,
that's what
just
it
got into the wire. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what was Club Dread mode?
Club Dread mode is the lights blink on the drop targets, and it's like the killer, and you've got to catch the killer.
See, my idea for Club Dread mode was you just have to drink, because all I remember Paxton doing in that was getting drunk. So
drunk
yeah.
and laid, basically.
Yeah, drunk
that's
and laid.
Like
so. Anybody else get laid tonight? I know I did. That's Paxton's big line on that one.
Well, we were really pushing the edge of memory at the end. In fact, it's almost it needs to be toned down a little bit already as it is, because sometimes the stack gets overloaded. But I think we did pretty good. So
I think you did pretty good.
It uses a parallax propeller processor. Just like this one on my finished pinball machine, Jerry.
Oh. Pwned.
I'm sorry. I think you're cool.
Is she one behind the TV?
Yes, I think it's going to be very cool. Like that TV she has, that's awesome. And so there's like a remote control that comes out of the board, and her ball locks are like little lazy boys, and the ball goes into it and then kicks it out.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool. I can't wait to see what she does with it. And she's a great engineer and whatnot. Far better than I am.
Optically mode?
What?
Optically mode?
I don't know. Oh, actually, the
loading. Oh,
here we go. The Twilight Zone pinball, you know how it has a different pinball, like the Powerball? Okay, well, there's a different pinball in it. And I was talking to her one time, and I was like, what was it? She talked about OxyClean, like, have like a dirty ball, and it goes into the thing, and it comes out clean. It's like, wow, now look at how clean it is. Like, maze. So I think she talked about that one time, too. Oh, and her pop bumpers, you know, they go bing, bing, bing. They're slap chops. Remember Mary got one of those? She's like, yeah! And like,
she did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you put this thing in, and you hit it, and it like cuts up things. So she's got that on a pop bumper, like has little marbles in it or whatnot. That represents food. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I'm sure she'll do a great job.
See, I thought Billy Mays was like over the top, but somehow the slap chop guy is more subtly obnoxious.
It's because he's like so insulting you the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. He's more like a sleazy used car salesman.
Yeah, we know that crap. out.
They're quiet when you're actually here. When you're not here, they're always
lip.
Yeah,
that was they're on a smack right now.
Like last night they were going like, they were complaining because he's made out of wood instead of steel or something. You know,
yeah.
What else is gonna be made out of? It? Wood. At least it's not like particle board. Yeah. Like that.
Sold at Walmart.
IKEA pinball
machine. Put it together on a particle board and it'll last you 5
days. That's a nice pinball theme.
I spilled a drink on my pinball and it disintegrated. All right, well, we should probably wrap it up here. Yeah. But thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, the audio recorded reasonably.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the show. And
yes. And remember, whatever you do, it must be right.
Keep watching the stars.
Godspeed, Stephen.
I'm Star Hustler. Jack Horner, Star Hustler. You'll be able to see Venus in 3 days. I haven't changed my pants since 1972.
All right.